Welcome everybody to this Pal Talk audio as we continue our deliberations on the new creation found in Ephesians chapter 2, the one new man. Recapping and adding a little to our previous observations from the Word, we return to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 of that chapter. And he has made you alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sins. In verses 2 and 3, Paul looks back at the past. He looks back and sees how we all walked, including himself. Verse 4, we have a great and glorious change, don't we? But God. Turning away from what we all were in the past, he brings in now this great and glorious transformation that came about by God, who is rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, and note he includes himself, we, even when we were dead in sins, he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Now, and look at verse 6. This is indeed a wonderful transformation, isn't it? In Christ, we have been raised together, and we have been seated together in the heavenlies. If there was ever an epistle, the context of which was heavenly places, it's this glorious letter of Paul to the Ephesians, written after Israel was set aside. Only in this letter is the phrase, in the above heavens, found. Indeed, in chapter 1, verse 1, our blessings are all spiritual, in the heavenly places. At the end of the chapter, our Saviour, who is now our head in this dispensation, remember, was raised and seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places, or the heavenlies. And there in that sphere, God gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And now in chapter 2, Paul, moving on from the fact that we're the completeness of him, begins to focus by the words he uses on the oneness that Jew and Gentiles now have together. He uses a compound, this prefix sun, which means together with. We find some wonderful compound words using this prefix sun in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, which words, for the most part, cannot be found in the Acts period, but only here in these letters proclaiming the new and previously hidden dispensation of the grace of God, which is in operation today. Ephesians 2 verse 5 says this, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. The word quickened together only occurs in Ephesians 2 verse 5 and Colossians 2 verse 13, where not only sins is brought into view, but the uncircumcision of the Gentiles' flesh. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together. We have this being quickened together. Corporately now, wonderful unity between Jew and Gentiles brought out in these beautiful contexts of the one new man in Ephesians. Verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2. And has raised us up together. A wonderful compound here, sanegairo, being raised together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at these two compounds in this verse. Being raised together only occurs here in Ephesians 2:6 and Colossians 2:12 and Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen together, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This is the context of the one new man. In Ephesians 2:6, Paul says, Not only have we been raised together, but we've been seated together in the heavenly places. Now this seated together, sunkathizo, occurs in Luke 22:55, where Peter sat down together with those while Christ was being tried inside. But here we have this unity of Jews and Gentiles being raised and seated together in the heavenly places. A very unique post-Acts statement regarding the Jews and Gentiles who constitute the church which is his body. Only this company has been raised and seated in the heavenly places. On the other side of Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, referring to this new creation of the one new man, Paul continues to use these compounds. In Ephesians 2, 19, he says, "Now therefore, because of this new creation, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but citizens together." This word only occurs here. We do think of Philippians 3, 9, where our citizenship is in heaven. This is not a fellow citizen with Abraham, or anyone who's to inherit the earth, now is it? Coming to Ephesians 2, 21, on the other side of this new creation, after Acts 28, Paul says, "Look, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holiest of all in the Lord." Fitly framed together only occurs here in Ephesians 2:21 and Ephesians 4:16. In verse 22, continuing that thought, Paul says, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Builded together is a word which only occurs here in these post-Acts epistles, Ephesians 2:22. Can we see this consistent use of this compound in this present dispensation? Jews and Gentiles are quickened together, are raised together, are seated together, are citizens together, are built together, or fitly framed together, and built together. Now let's cross the chapter break to chapter 3. No chapter breaks in the original, as you know. And coming to verse 6, defining this great mystery that was revealed to Paul, he says the Gentiles should be heirs together. Now it's true that heirs together does occur in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, Hebrews 11, 9, and 1 Peter 3, 7. But if we examine this context here in Ephesians 3, 6, it's the nations are heirs together. You don't see them being joint heirs with Christ as in Romans 8, the glory of which, as we know from that chapter, is the removal of the curse. And the hope of Romans 15 is found in Isaiah chapter 11. In Ephesians 3, 6, the nations, Jews and Gentiles, are heirs together. In Ephesians 3, 6, we have, the King James says, the same body. But of course, it's a body, singular, together. This singular body is a compound singular body, where Jews and Gentiles are a body together. This word, a body together, only occurs here. And they are partakers together, or a sharer together. This word, partakers, is a compound again, and it says a co-participant. They are participants together. And you find that it likewise is found here in Ephesians 3, 6 and 5, 7. For the most part, these compound words are only found in Paul's post-Acts ministry as they relate to this great new complete set of conditions or a dispensation that was made known by Christ through Paul to us believers for today. Let's read Ephesians 3, 6 through to verse 9. Now Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs or heirs together, and of a body together, and partakers together of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Which gospel is that? Well, it's not the gospel of their salvation in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This grace is given to me, who am less than the least of all saints, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the nations. This gospel is identified with that which is unsearchable. Now, in verse 9, and to bring to light what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And here in verse 9, we have the word creation, which takes us back to the section under our examination, Ephesians 2, 11 to 17. Let us pick up this section from verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Paul in this setting is talking about a creation in Christ Jesus. And this is a bridging verse, if you will, between Ephesians 2, 1 through 9, where we have this wonderful change from something in the past to something that exists now, i.e. being raised and seated in the heavenlies. You can't find that in the Acts period, remember. And the next section. So let's have a look at the next section and another great transformation. This coming section, Ephesians 2, 11 through and beyond into 17, is not about the doctrinal statement that they were sinners who needed to be made alive together. This is about the disadvantages that the Gentiles had, the national differences that were dissolved at the creation of this one new man. Verse 11, therefore remember that you, the nations in time past, were in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now remember, when you see flesh, it doesn't mean in the old nature or the sin on every occurrence. Remember, according to the flesh, last lesson, Romans chapter 9, Christ came through Israel. Christ came to Israel. And as we saw in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 13, in the Acts period, he was raised to sit on David's throne. He was raised to Israel as well. So now Paul's talking about something in the past, okay, which doesn't have to do with the fact that we're all descended from Adam and sinners. It's talking about what we were as those who were the cast-off nations. And the cast-off nations, you'll notice in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 2, at that time, you were without Christ. Now see, don't get confused here. Paul isn't saying that they weren't Christians. He's writing to the saints and faithful. And he's turning their minds back to when they were without Christ as the cast-off nations. When as the cast-off Gentiles they did not have him as one who came through them and to them and was raised to them. Christ did not come through the nations. He did not minister to the nations in the Gospels, and he certainly wasn't raised to the nations in the Acts period up till Acts 28, when he was raised as the high priest king of Israel. Continuing back in Ephesians 2, verse 12, he says, look, you, the uncircumcised, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Back in the Acts period, in Romans 11, from about verse 17, Paul says, look, if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and became a sharer of the root and fatness of the olive tree with them, Do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, it's not you that bears the root, but the root bears you. In Romans 15:27, Paul writes that the nations were obligated to help Israel financially because they were partakers of Israel's spiritual things. Why? Because they had none ever promised to them as Gentiles by God. Back in the Acts period, Paul is confirming the statement he makes in Ephesians 2 verse 12. The nations had nothing other than the root and fatness of the olive tree. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is saying, at that time you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The covenants of promise belong to Israel, the hope the Gentiles embraced belonged to Israel, and the God that they acknowledged was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh yes, in the Acts period, as Peter and Paul confess in Acts 15 and in Romans chapter 3, no difference in the matter of the cleansing by grace through faith. And in Galatians 3:28, in Christ, no difference. But Jews had an advantage. It was Jew first, and the Gentiles were blessed with faithful Abraham, became his seed, because they were in Christ. There was nothing that the nations had outside of God's purpose for Israel. That is not the one new man of the post-Acts ministry of Paul, the dispensation of the grace of God. Returning to Ephesians 2:12 for a moment, we notice the nations were strangers from the covenants of promise. And remember, the covenants both contained the law. The old covenant had the law, and Israel said in their own strength, we'll do it, and broke it on the first day. And of course a new covenant was promised, where they were not going to be doing the law in their own strength, but the law was going to be put in their hearts, and therefore they would all know and serve the Lord. The gifts of the Acts period, an anticipation of that wonderful time. Now we come to the change point in Ephesians 2 verse 13. Remember back in verse 4, but God? Now, in verse 13, but now, at the time of this writing, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are made near by the blood of Christ. This is not referring to those who were sinners who have been reconciled to God by grace. It's about those who were cast off being made near. This is not about a Jew and a Gentile being made holy or righteous or sinless. No, it's about those that were far off and those that were near being created into one new man. The nearness is found in verse 16, so that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity in himself. But before we get to verse 16, let's look at this great new creation. In verse 14, Paul says, for he is our peace, he making us both one. Unification, peace at last, not between a sinner and God, but between those that were far off with nothing and those that were near previously with everything. And has broken down the middle wall of partition or fragmentation between us. Previously, there was no peace between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. Something was between them. Distinctions stood which marked them as being different. nationally. Do you see? The Middle Wall wasn't an emblem of a barrier between people and God. It was a separation between Jews and Gentiles. Do you see the context here? Now Paul goes on to say in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity. You see, friends, Paul is telling us very plainly that between these two classes of believers, previously, at that time, there was enmity between them. Now, we can't contradict Paul and say, oh, no, I'm terribly sorry, Paul, you said that there was no difference in faith between them, when he's writing here and says there was enmity. And now, in this creation, there's finally peace. This enmity is identified very clearly. The law of commandments contained in ordinances. That enmity in those things was abolished. In order that, verse 15 goes on to say, in himself he might create the two into one new man. This is not Jew and Gentile in Christ being Abraham's seed. And the verse concludes, making peace between them. In verse 14, making both one. Verse 15, creating the two into one new man. Making peace between the two. So in verse 14, you have a barrier taken away. Something that was between a Jew and a Gentile removed. You had a set of ordinances in verse 15 that promoted the distinction, the hostility, the lack of peace between them. You see here, this law, you must remember, friends, that the law was exclusive to the nation of Israel. It was in a relationship between them and God. Oh, yes, the law catered for Gentiles, but the law was something in the Old Covenant between God and Israel and in the New Covenant between God and Israel. Remember, the law states that Israel will be the head and not the tail. And in Jeremiah 31, I will be a God to Israel. I will regather them. That's the terms. That's the hope. That's the promise of the law. And when God's going to put that nation above every other nation, that's still an emblem of enmity, isn't it? And distinction and difference between them. Now let's recap. Those that were far off have been made near. How have they been made near? Well, first of all, the things that were a barrier between the Jew and Gentile believers were removed, so that one new man could be created, be of both. This creation was of Jew and Gentile, not a creation of a sinner in Christ. And in this new creation, they were both reconciled to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the conflict that these things produced. Ephesians 2:13-16, the far off ones made near. Verse 14 and 15, the things that were an obstacle to this nearness have been abolished. The middle wall between them, the enmity contained in those ordinances. A creation in Christ of the two into one new man. Verse 16, reconciliation of the both to God in one body by the cross. One new man, one body, the blood and the cross were effective. But this one new mankind, this one body, didn't commence at the cross, as we will see. In Ephesians, Paul is writing to saints and faithful. Now he's telling them of this great dispensational change after Israel had been set aside. Something that is unsearchable and that had previously been hidden in God. In the Old Testament and in the Acts period, you can find Christ crucified, rose again the third day. You can find forgiveness of sins. You can find type and shadow about the redemption fundamental basic truths. You won't find anywhere that Jews and Gentiles in the Messiah have been created into one new mankind, where there is no circumcision and uncircumcision in the flesh anymore. That is unique to this post-Acts ministry of Paul. Let's stay in Ephesians chapter 2 and have a look at these verses 14 and 15. Something unsearchable, something hidden in God, remember. Verse 14, He is our peace, having made both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of fragmentation between us Jews and Gentiles. Why does Paul use the word us? You see, the us here isn't a sinner and God, is it? It's the us, Paul, including himself as a Jew, writing to Jews and Gentiles. It's between Jew and Gentile, that middle wall. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. This conflict between these believers, this lacking of peace, this superiority of the Jew, that has been abolished. Now then, you find again in Christ, the two become one new man, making peace between not us and God, but the Jew and the Gentile. Before looking at the words for creation in verse 14 and 15, there are two words. Let's remember that this section is about nearness. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. 4, and it goes on to speak about this peace, this creation of both one, this removal of these barriers between Jew and Gentile. Now that those barriers have been removed, in verse 16, the nearness is now brought into being. And so that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity contained in those ordinances, amplified by the middle wall in Israel's temple, in himself. The nearness was required. The nearness was brought into being, but certain things had to be removed by the blood and by the cross. Now, we will see that this creation of the one new man did not exist while the ordinances, the law contained therein, stood, because they were the note or mark of enmity. So, let's look at the words creation in these two verses. In verse 14, we find who has made both one. Who has made, a translation of a word poieo, P-O-I-E-O, from which we get the English word poem. So in verse 14, both he has made one. This word occurs again in verse 15, at the end of the verse, so making peace, making both one, emphasized that in that making of the two one, peace is now, at this revelation of something that was previously hidden, now peace exists between them. Remember, these things needed to be done to bring about this nearness of those who were afar off and those who were nigh. The nearness now, not referring to Israel's access to the inner courts of the temple, but the Jew and Gentile access now to God in the heavenly places, where Christ is the head over all things, to the church which is his body. God tells us, by making both one, he has made the peace. Now to the English reader, reading verse 14 and 15, we would see making, make, made. That would be the same family of words in English, but when Paul wrote, he used a more powerful word in verse 15. It says in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh, by the cross, by the blood, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, in order that for to create, oh, it's not the word to make, it's to create in himself, of twain, of two, one new man. Now this word for create, let's look at that. For those of you interested in the original language, where I find inspiration, you will know the word to make in himself is the word katizo. Very interesting use of this word by the Holy Spirit. In Mark 13:19, the Lord, speaking of the great tribulation, speaks about no such affliction since the beginning of creation which God created. Katizo. In Romans 1:25, it's translated creator. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 9, the man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's the only three occurrences of this word prior to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Remember, verse 10, a great bridging verse from the great dead to sins opening of chapter 2, and the creation of the one new man between Jew and Gentile, making peace in chapter 2, 13 through 16. And in verse 15, this word creating in himself of two, one new man. You see, just as in Genesis 1 and 2, there was a creation by the Creator, so in Ephesians chapter 2, after Israel were set aside, there is a creation by the Creator of Jew and Gentile into one new people. Now, tying this one new man, new creation, with things unsearchable and things hidden, this very word katizo, to create, occurs next in Ephesians 3:9. After Paul has spoken about things unsearchable, things that were hidden in God, he said in verse 9 to sum up, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And the creation in Ephesians 3:9 in this context is the one new man. Isn't it wonderful how the Word of God helps us so much? In Ephesians 2:15, returning there, this word to make in himself of twain, make in himself, create in himself. The word create is not found before this in relation to a Jew and a Gentile being created into something new. And of course, the phrase, the one new man, can't be found before this either. The one new man belongs in a setting of things unsearchable and hidden until this point when they were revealed. For those of us who compare things that are different, we immediately recognize that 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not a new creation between Jew and Gentile. It says that if any one is in Christ, that one is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, the all things have become new. Staying in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, Paul says this, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one man, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. So we see the differences, don't we? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, that one is a new creature, is certainly not the creation of Ephesians chapter 2, where we today are the church which is his body, not chaste virgins. We are to test things that are different, remember. This is a creation between the two classes of Christians. And you know, don't you, that in the Acts period, while they were one in Christ, the Jews had an advantage, as Paul says so clearly in Romans chapter 3 verse 1 and chapter 9, those opening verses. So you see, here is something that the cross accomplished, but which was not revealed until this time. That's why verse 13 is so emphatic in Ephesians chapter 2. But now, at the revelation of this great dispensation that was hidden in God, but now, you who were once far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Yes, friends, the blood accomplished something by the cross, but the efficacy of it was not revealed until this point. It was accomplished on the cross, friends, but it wasn't revealed at it. Now was it? All Bible teaching must stay in a context. And the context of the creation of the one new man is in the revelation of the mystery, which was unsearchable and hidden in God. That is not the context of the Acts period, when Paul was saying no other things than those which Moses and the prophets said was going to happen. Some further evidence that the one new man did not come into being at the cross, we see in Ephesians 2, 13 and 16 the following phrases. Verse 13, you who were once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 16, so that he might reconcile both to God in one body, by the cross. By the blood, by the cross. The word by means through, the instrument, the agency, that which brought about something. It's not a preposition which denotes time of a beginning. Now, at the cross, you remember that the Lord Jesus, the King Priest of Israel, sitting down with 12, who were to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He was crucified as the King of the Jews, remember. He said to them, look, take of this cup, Matthew 26, 27 and 28. Drink all of it, he said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, friends, the new covenant contains the law, whereas in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, the enmity was identified in the law contained in ordinances. So the new covenant Is Israel as the head and not the tail, a great and mighty nation, God regathering them, Gentiles coming and worshipping at the temple in Jerusalem? The blood at the cross was the blood of the new covenant, which is totally incompatible with the one new man created after Israel was set aside at Acts 28. No, friends, test things that are different. To conclude this audio, we will now focus upon the word ordinances in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's recap. In verse 13, the ones far off made near. Verse 14, making both one. The middle wall of fragmentation broken down, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the conflict, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might create the two into one new man. Let's put this all back to front. While the enmity existed, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, while the middle wall of partition stood between them, there was no peace between them. They, Jew and Gentiles, were not made near in one body by the cross. All of these things had to be removed for the creation of the one new man. So if the ordinances were in operation, and if the middle wall of partition was still effective, then the one new man was not in existence. So, ordinances. The word for ordinances is dogma. Now you'll find the word dogma in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, where Caesar Augustus sent forth a decree. It's a dogma, and it's from a Roman emperor. You'll find this word next occurring in Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 4. And as they passed through the cities, okay, this is very important, they delivered to them the commandments to keep, the ones that were ordained by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. Now guess what? The word for dogma of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15 is the word commandments in Acts 16 verse 4. Acts 16 verse 4, by comparing the words that the Holy Ghost has used, ties together very clearly the ordinances of Ephesians 2:15 and the four things of Acts 15 that Gentiles had to keep. This proves to the Bible student that the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, existed, were in fact brought into being at Acts 15. The ordinances of Ephesians 2:15 are the four things imposed upon the Gentile believers in Acts 15. And in Ephesians 2, Paul says that the enmity contained in them was abolished in order that God could create in himself of the two one new man. I think it's obvious that the one new man of Ephesians chapter 2 could not be at the cross or indeed at Acts 15, nor indeed at Acts 21, where the four necessary things still stood. The ordinances of Ephesians 2:15 were the four things brought into being at Acts 15. Before concluding this audio and approaching the four ordinances in our next one, let's recap. The context of the one new man of Ephesians 2, verse 15, begins in Ephesians 1, where we are told by Paul very clearly that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, not previously revealed to anybody. At the end of chapter 1, Christ has been raised and seated in the heavenly places, all things under his feet in that sphere, head over all things to the church which is his body in that sphere, not revealed before. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, the opening verses, the believers today have been quickened together with Christ. Quickened together, not found before this epistle. In verse 6, raised up together, a word not found prior to this post-Acts ministry. Seated together in the heavenly places. Never mentioned prior to this. In verse 10, of course, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The first hint of this new creation about to be revealed. In verse 19 of this chapter, fellow citizens or citizens together. You won't find this verse anywhere else but here. In verse 21, fitly framed together. This word only occurs in Ephesians. It occurs twice, 2:21 and 4:16. In Ephesians 2:22, builded together or built together only occurs here in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, heirs together. This word does occur in Romans chapter 8, but the context there is all earthly and it's conditional. In Ephesians 3, verse 6, the Gentiles are a body together. It only occurs here. Nowhere else. Ephesians 3:6, are partakers together. This word only occurs here, and Ephesians 5:7. Now, conversely, when we come back to Ephesians 2, verse 15, in the light of all these words which do not occur up until Acts 28 and only after, we find that enmity existed between Jews and Gentiles as manifested in the law contained in ordinances which did exist in the Acts period. I think the evidence is overwhelming that the one new man of Ephesians 2 is part of, as Paul clearly says, the dispensation of the grace of God, that which previously was unsearchable and hidden in himself until the revelation of it to Paul after Israel was set aside at Acts 28.